Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, December 23rd, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Among our top stories this evening,
Christmas comes early for disadvantaged communities in the capital as Harare Mayor distributes goodies to children, old people's homes and hospitals in the city.
Times are hard for our normal and traditional supporters who do not get as much as we would have wanted. The needs are great.
The Traffic Safety Council of Zimbabwe calls on drivers to exercise caution on the roads as police report 31 people have so far been killed in traffic road accidents this festive season.
We are always advising motorists that as you drive, you should drive to suit the road conditions. We already know which road needs as much effort in terms of driving. We already know which road you have got to drive as carefully as possible.
And the African Union declares 2014 the Year of the Woman as the world takes stock 20 years after the historic Beijing Women's Conference.
Traffic Safety Council of Zimbabwe today called on drivers to exercise caution on the roads as police reported 31 people have been killed in traffic accidents so far this season. They say 515 crashes have been recorded across the country compared to 470 during the same period last year. Mashingo Province is reportedly leading in the number of fatalities with 10 deaths, followed by Matabeleland South with 7. Mashonaland East comes third with 4 people dead so far, followed by Harare with 3 deaths so far. Bulawayo is number 5 with 2 deaths. A Traffic Safety Council of Zimbabwe Managing Director Obio Chinyere tells in Tungamilinkomo many accidents are caused by human error.
It's regrettable and really necessary that every year we have got this same story where so many lives are lost, especially during the festive season. This is the time when everybody should be merry. This is the time when everybody should be enjoying. But alas, it's usually the time when we experience so much carnage on our road. But there are times when you wish we didn't have these festive seasons.
The roads are obviously in a bad shape and are contributing to the deaths of many people. But what would you say is the number one cause of accidents in Zimbabwe?
The number one is the human factor. Yes, you have mentioned about the roads. But we are always advising motorists that as you drive, you should drive to suit the road conditions. We already know which road need as much effort in terms of driving. We already know which road you have got to drive as carefully as possible. And it's a matter of yourself driving to suit the road conditions. And you did ask which one is the major cause of accidents. It's the human factor. People overspeed. Drivers drink, drive. Vehicles are overloaded. Unfit vehicles are put onto the roads. People tend to be in rush, especially when it comes to the festive season. And these are the major causes of accidents. When you look at the statistics, 85% of accidents are caused by human error.
That was the Traffic Safety Council of Zimbabwe Managing Director Obio Chinyere on the line with reporter Ntunga Milinkomo from Harare.
My name is Morgan Tsvangirai. I wish all Zimbabweans the families a happy Christmas. I know things are difficult. The carnival atmosphere we are used to is normal. We continue to pray to God that He will give us the blessings for 2015 so that perhaps we can restore our hope again for a prosperous Zimbabwe and a better future. Thank you.
Christmas came early today for disadvantaged communities in the capital. Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni dispersed Xmas goodies to children, old people's homes and hospitals in the city, courtesy of the mayor's Christmas Cheer Fund. Ivan Chifera has more details.
A hospital is never a good place to be, more so when it is over a holiday like Christmas or New Year. So, many patients in Harare's hospitals were today expecting to go through their daily routines of observations and treatment. But Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni had something up his sleeve. First, he made a surprise pit stop at the Beatrice Infectious Diseases Hospital to bring some cheer into the wards. Overwhelmed patients could not hold their tears back as the mayor did his rounds distributing goods from his sandbag. Some of the patients struggled to hold their gifts or were simply too weak to clap hands in appreciating the gifts, while others just simply smiled. It was the same at Wilkins Hospital, where relatives visiting sick relatives came in during visiting hour to see the mayor distributing goodies and praying for the patients in the wards. A visibly touched Manyenyeni spoke with most visiting relatives as he assisted some of the patients to hold their gifts. Harare City Health Services Director Prosper Chonzi said the gesture by the mayor will no doubt uplift spirits during the festive season.
It's unfortunate and it's unwanted for patients to spend the whole Christmas period inside a hospital. They'll be far away from their relatives and loved ones. So it is very uplifting for the mayor of a city, for senior officials of the city, for councillors and all, to come and visit them, pay them a visit, give them the small tokens of appreciation for them being patients, but for them being citizens of the city. It will uplift their spirits and it will even make healing better and faster.
Mayor Manyenyeni said the city would have loved to do more, but was limited by economic hardships facing the nation.
We've enjoyed a lot of support. Obviously, times are hard for our normal and traditional supporters. We do not get as much as we would have wanted. The needs are great, but I think the spirit of giving was definitely with us this year. I'm grateful for the support that we've received from corporates, from individuals, the work of my cheer fund committee. I'm grateful.
Apart from goodies donated to patients, children and old people's homes, the mayor's cheer fund also pays tuition for struggling students in schools and universities every year. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
This is Taurai Shava. Thank you for making Studio 7 your number one station. I wish you a Merry Christmas and all the best in the new year.
The National Vendors Union of Zimbabwe says it is disturbed by the Harare City Council's move to subcontract some vendors' groups to collect rates from colleagues who sell their wares on the streets of Harare. Vegetable vendors are expected to pay a $3 fee daily, while stall owners at flea markets will be charged $10. Studio 7 reached Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni for a comment, but he referred us to Town Clerk Tendai Mahachi, who was not reachable. Director Samuel Wadzai of the National Vendors Union Zimbabwe tells Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri the arrangement is a recipe for disaster, as it is likely to breed corruption and extortion.
We are basically saying that the city of Harare are the owners of the land, and this land that vendors are using belongs to the city fathers. So for the city fathers, therefore, then to give other organizations the authority to collect money, really expose vendors to a lot of abuses, a chief among them, the issue of corruption and extortion. We are saying the city of Harare should do this thing on their own. If they want union and association to assist them, they should come just in terms of crafting strategies and modalities of ensuring that at the end of the day, the money gets to City of Harare, not to give the associations or unions the authority to collect money. It's a recipe for disaster.
What reasons are being given by the council here for it not to collect the money?
Their major reason is that as unions or organizations representing vendors, we have got direct contact with vendors. So we are able to deal with them directly.
That was the National Vendors Union Zimbabwe Director Samuel Wadzai speaking with Jonga Kandemiri from Harare.
Meanwhile, the Harare Residents Trust has called on the Harare City Council to urgently address the water situation in the city. Harare City Council's communications manager, Michael Chideme, was quoted in the media saying the city's water is safe, though residents are complaining about the color of the water and smell coming through their taps. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke with Harare Residents Trust Director Precious Shumba, who says the city council should stop taking people for granted.
They should try to understand that what they are trying to achieve from a public relations perspective will backfire, because more residents are now convinced more than ever that something is amiss. The city of Harare is trying to hide something concerning water delivery. So we also spoke with our membership. Our membership is concerned on the acceptability of water in the communities. It has a greenish color. It has an odor, a very strong odor. And most people are no longer confident to drink the municipal water.
What would you want the city to do in regards to what you are seeing on a day-to-day basis?
The replacement of underground water pipes. This is a priority, because from their own reports as a council, they are losing nearly 40 to 45% of treated water due to leakages along the distribution network. So it means if that 45% is saved through placement of old pipes, it means more water would reach more people.
That was Harare Resident Trust Director Precious Shumba.
Studio 7 reached Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni for his response on the water quality in the capital.
Our aim, our real wish, is to make sure that when we proclaim our water safe and good to drink, we should be proud and confident that we are saying, telling the people the truth. But what I've been picking up are complaints, people phoning, sending me pictures, sending me messages, saying some of the water that they're picking up in their homes is not clean, it's not clear, they cannot trust it, it just doesn't look good enough to be consumed. We are looking into those complaints because they are genuine. I've seen pictures have been sent through to me. So as part of the improved water delivery, we have a duty and a commitment to improve the quality of that water, because we don't want to have the supply but without the quality. So as we improve our supply, our volumes, let's be sure that the quality is what meets the residents' expectations, is trusted by the resident. It can be consumed by anyone without thinking twice.
That was the City of Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni speaking with reporter Tatenda Gumbo from Harare.
My name is George Durek from Mashingo Town. I'm here to congratulate all members of the MPC and all my friends who are from South Africa, one in the DRC and another one in Mashingo Town. All these jokes from the MPC, also our leader, Pastor Jai, Yara Mamondo. I'm greeting you and have a good Christmas and a happy new year.
You are listening to Studio 7, coming to you live from the Voice of America in Washington.
We take a look at regional and international news.
A press freedom group says at least 60 journalists have been killed this year while doing their job, with members of the international press making up a particularly high percentage of the dead. The New York-based Committee to Protect Journalists issued its annual report yesterday, documenting journalist deaths in 21 countries in 2014.
North Korea has refused to participate in a meeting of the United Nations Security Council during which Pyongyang's human rights situation came under heavy criticism. 11 of the 15 council members voted yesterday in support of putting the issue on the agenda over the objections of permanent members China and Russia.
And the World Health Organization says the death toll from the Ebola outbreak has risen to more than 7,500 people, and the number of cases is nearing 20,000. The latest data posted today reflects recent trends, with Liberia and Guinea seeing a decrease in the rate of Ebola transmissions, while Sierra Leone's cases continue to rise. The allocation of ministries to the newly appointed vice presidents will not provide any meaningful solution to the country's waning fortunes, some analysts warned today. The two vice presidents will supervise and give direction, where necessary, to the ministries under their purview.
Acting President Emmerson Mnangagwa is quoted by the Herald newspaper saying President Mugabe allocated him with the ministries of agriculture, health, lands, tourism, higher education, sports, and small enterprises. Second Vice President Phelekezela Mpogo will oversee all the security ministries of defense, home affairs, and presidential affairs, including transport, foreign affairs, public works, and energy. Mpogo will also oversee the ministries of gender, information, media, and broadcasting, and information, yes. Independent political analyst Zenzele Ndebele says the move by President Mugabe is just window dressing, adding much more needs to be done by Mr. Mugabe to change the fortunes of the country. Political analyst Pedzisai Ruhanya, also chairman of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, tells Studio 7 the allocation of ministries to the two vice presidents will not change anything, as the same people remain in charge of those portfolios.
I don't think much will happen, but they want to give an impression that they want to do things differently. I think what needs to change fundamentally is the policy framework under which this government operates. So unless they liberalize not only the economy, but also liberalizing or opening up or democratizing their politics, if they remain entrenched in a authoritarian, dictatorial, command politics, it will not assist anything. They can do all these piecemeal or face powder changes in terms of allocation of ministries to the two vice presidents, but that is not what is the issue. Those are not the issues that we need to attend to.
From your study of politics, is this allocation of ministries something new, or there are similar models elsewhere in the world?
No, there's nothing new even in Zimbabwe, only that in the past we were not aware that that's what the president would do. But in terms of the law or in terms of the constitution, the president is allowed to do that. It's within his constitutional mandate. And in fact, I think it has been happening silently. But the message that they are trying to send to the public is to say that they want the business will not be as usual.
Pedzisai Ruhanya is a political analyst. He's also the chairman of the Zimbabwe Democracy Trust. He spoke with us from Harare.
And Chris, yes, we've been asking our listeners to send in their Christmas messages. Now we go to their WhatsApp messages. It's a time to be merry.
I'm Neva Gampira from Goromonzi. I'm wishing all my relatives from Zimbabwe a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Ndinonzi Kelvin Mawarire, ndinogara kumasvingo. I want to say, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to the whole of Mawarire family and also my friends at National Institute of Science and Technology. All banking students, I say Merry Christmas.
Santa Claus coming down your chimney or your nipa.
My name is Simpson Mashawara. I want to say Merry Christmas and a prosperous year to my friends, my family, everyone in the world. Thank you.
Ukraine has raised serious concern with Zimbabwe after Environment Minister Xavier Kasukwere visited the disputed region of Crimea this week. Ukraine is engaged in a bitter conflict with Russia over the control of the region. Reports from Kiev yesterday said Kasukwere was in the region last week. Zimbabwe is one of the just 11 countries of the 193 UN General Assembly members that supported the referendum for Crimea to become an independent state linked to Russia. Other nations which supported the annexation include North Korea, Syria, Sudan, Venezuela, and Cuba. Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Joy Bima, said he could not comment as he was on holiday. Efforts to get a comment from Kasukwere or the Foreign Affairs Minister, Simbarashe Mumbengegui, were futile as their mobile phones went unanswered. The European Union's ambassador to Zimbabwe, Mr. Philippe Van Dem, said there was no United Nations embargo on visiting the Crimea, so the EU's hands were tied, adding the visit is not likely to damage EU Harare ties, though the visit was unfortunate. International relations expert Clifford Mashiri tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that Kasukwere's visit is suspicious.
It is very suspicious that this Kasukwere, a commissar of ZANU-PF, finds himself in Crimea, a country that has no legitimacy according to the European Union. It's believed that he is out there looking for arms because Zimbabwe is still under an arms embargo, which is true. So they are likely to be trying to get them over in view of the fact that the Russians have been given a lot of business deals in Zimbabwe, the platinum, and many others. I think diamonds as well, somewhere in Chimanimani. And Crimea is very desperate for foreign currency as well.
But is it wise for Zimbabwe to do this at this juncture, judging from the fact that it is trying to mend ties with the European Union?
Zimbabwe has never bothered trying to mend ties with the European Union in a serious manner. They are still occupying farms. Zamara was, beaten up and all that. Those are human rights abuses. They are still continuing. So, in other words, ZANU-PF or the Zimbabwe government is not keen to really bow down to what the EU wants. What we suspect is that it's the EU which is desperate to re-engage Zimbabwe.
That was international relations expert Clifford Mashiri speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Bulgaria. The African Union has declared 2015 the Year of the Woman as the world next year takes stock of progress made since the Beijing conference some 20 years ago. AU Commission Chairperson Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma says the union is taking seriously the need to empower women into more leadership positions, hence dedicating 2015 the Year of the African Woman. We spoke with her from her office in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia.
Next year is very significant for women globally. It was 20 years ago, 1995, that women from all over the world gathered in Beijing and put a platform for action. And I think 20 years on, it's a good time to assess and evaluate what progress has been made since Beijing. Also for the continent dedicated 2010 to 2020 as the decade of African women. And next year will be halfway through that decade. So it will be important to also take stock of what has happened during the first 5 years of that decade and to plan on how we can do more in the last 5 years. And of course, as we adopt Agenda 2063, Agenda 2063 has to unleash the potential of both women and youth And it has to be that potential that we add to the potential of men who have been driving issues on the continent all along, that now we have a force of youth, a force of women to add to that potential and drive Agenda 2063. So for all those reasons, it was important to dedicate next year to women.
From what we have seen politically in countries like Malawi, Zimbabwe, where people were looking forward to having women leaders in one way or the other, people are saying they've been major losses in terms of what they've seen in Joyce Banda, in Joyce Mujuru. What can the AU Commission do in trying to strengthen the position of women to ensure that we have more women leaders in Africa?
One of the things that we have to look at is strengthening women who want to get into politics, to assist them, to build their capacity, but also not to look at one woman in a country, but to look at women at all levels, women in the municipality. The lives of Africans are affected so much at the municipal level. So we need to have women there at the coalface at the municipal level. We need to have women at the national level, where there are provinces and counties. We need to have women at those levels. So we have to build the capacity of women, not just one woman, because one swallow does not break the summer. It's nice to have a woman president. It's nice to have a woman vice president, and we should try and strive for that. But more importantly, to bring a lot more women, so that indeed there can be a critical mass of women, even to influence getting women at the top.
That was African Union Commission Chairperson Dr. Nkosasa Ntlamini Zuma in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will discuss with you, the listeners and the experts, about the carnage on the country's roads.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
Unfortunately, time is not on our side, but for Highlanders football supporters, just to tell you that the club has appointed former Zimbabwe Saints mentor Bongani Mafu as their substantive coach following their firing of Zambian gaffer Kelvin Kaindu before the end of the 2014 season. We'll bring you more on this story tomorrow. Now, Chris, we recap today's top stories.
Christmas came early for disadvantaged communities in the capital as Harare mayor distributed goodies to children, old people's homes and hospitals in the city.
The Traffic Safety Council of Zimbabwe calls on drivers to exercise caution on the roads as police report 31 people have been killed in traffic road accidents so far this season.
And the African Union declares 2014 the year of the woman as the world takes stock 20 years after the historic Beijing Women's Conference.
That's our broadcast this evening. Join us at 7 every evening for news in three languages. And visit us on the internet at www.studio7news.com. For more on our top stories, you can also send us an email to studio7@voanews.com or text us at 001-202-465-0318. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Sandra Nyaira in Washington.
And